This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll hear first from the private files of Rex Saunders this time, in what may be the longest title we've yet encountered. From July 4th, 1951, here's Hidden Thoughts in a Feminine Mind Concerned with Murder. After that, it's the lineup and the Gasoline Bandit case, their story from December 12th, 1952.
Rex Harrison stars in another intriguing adventure transcribed from the private files of Rex Saunders. Concerning a masquerade. It's rather difficult to fathom the beauty hidden behind a lace mask. And it's even more difficult to fathom the hidden thoughts in a feminine mind concerned with murder. And now, the private files of Rex Saunders. RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, brings you the celebrated star of stage and screen, Rex Harrison, in another exciting story taken from the private files of Rex Saunders, radio's newest man of mystery. We hope you enjoy these weekly stories of intrigue and adventure, and for another adventure in home entertainment, we suggest you try RCA Victor's fine line of radio and television products, now on display at your RCA Victor dealer. Now for our story. I stand here on the bow of the ship as we head for home. And a soft breeze ripples the moonlit waters of the Caribbean. I stand here and I think of the strange adventures which have just ended. And I think especially of her and the first time we met. It was our last night out before entering the port of Havana. And as I stood watching the quiet sea, the noisy gaiety of the masquerade ball floated up faintly from the dance floor. I turned from the breeze to light a cigarette, and I saw her glide out of the shadows onto the open boat deck. She was dressed as an Arabian princess, and the moonlight made her disguise quite believable.
Oh, pardon me.
Yes?
May I have a light, please?
Certainly, here.
Thank you.
Princess, it's much too nice a night for it.
Too nice for what?
Running away.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you came over to me in quite a rush, and it wasn't just for a match, now, was it?
Well, of course it was. And where do you get the idea that...
However, you don't have to worry. He's gone.
Who's gone?
The man who was following you. He went down the stairs to the deck below.
No one was following me. You're mistaken.
No? Then why did you come over to me?
Objection?
No. Curiosity. At least you'll do me the favor of removing your mask.
Sorry.
Well, not even your name, I suppose.
Not even my name.
Well, then, Princess, I'll just have to give you one. Sherizade would be appropriate.
Why her?
Well, she was a royal and beautiful liar. And now, I suppose, the storybooks would have it, you will leave me standing here and fade back into the shadows from which you came.
No, the storybooks have it wrong. I'm leaving you. Only you're coming with me.
And where are you taking me on your magic carpet?
Down into the ship's hold to one of the storage compartments.
What if I should refuse to go?
You won't.
Why not?
This automatic. Down the passageway.
Princess, this is going to teach me a lesson. Never trust the lady until you know her name and the serial number of her gun.
Just keep walking, do as I say, and there won't be any trouble. All right, stop here.
Now what?
Here. Take this money. You're going into that storage room through this door.
And what do I do in there?
There's someone inside waiting. You give him that money, he'll give you an envelope. You bring the envelope back to me. All right, now go inside. And remember, I'll be watching you from here with this gun. Go ahead.
Stay where you are, senor.
Huh?
Don't turn around. There are two of us here. And I have a gun pointed at you.
No.
Now back, senor. Slowly move back this way. That is enough. Uh-huh. Now remember, please do not try to turn around.
I remember.
Why did you come, senor?
Believe me, the choice wasn't mine. I was standing on the boat deck minding my own business.
I do not like this, senor.
You express my feelings exactly.
You have the money?
I have the money.
You hand it back to my friend here, senor. You hand it back and please do not turn around.
All right, just as you say. Here it is. I believe I was to get something in return.
Si, senor. In return, I do have something for you. Oh!
Rex.
Alec, are you all right?
I'll beg you to magenta. Just where am I?
In a storage compartment in the ship's hold.
The ship's hold?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
I was looking for you. I became concerned when I didn't find you out on the boat deck. Luckily, one of the crew saw you go below with a young lady.
Oh, the princess.
The what?
Never mind, Alec. Go on.
Well, I came in here and found you sprawled out cold. And he was lying over there.
What are you talking about?
The gentleman behind you, lying next to the crate there.
Well, looks as if I had company during my blackout.
Who is he?
I don't know.
I noticed he has a roll of bills in his hand.
Oh, then he must be one of the two I was dealing with.
Now, I realize you're in a weakened condition, but would you mind giving me just a slight hint as to what went on down here?
I haven't the faintest notion of what it's all about.
Huh?
I'm going to see that we get a full explanation after we bring my companion there around.
That'll be a little difficult. He's dead.
A special group of people we know have enjoyed themselves immensely this holiday, whether they spent the 4th away or just around the house. We mean those folks who keep recorded music close at hand. The many who enjoy RCA Victor's new Victrola 45 personal phonograph. Here is the music you want when you want it, in a compact, complete phonograph that has a convenient carrying handle. The 45 personal is far smaller than a cubic foot, and it's extremely lightweight, yet it gives you big phonograph performance. It's so easy to take with you on a weekend trip or for an evening out on a visit. Then, too, the Victrola 45 Personal was especially designed for handy 7-inch records, little lightweight records that can play as long as ordinary 10 or 12 inches. Yes, the 45 Personal is practical, versatile. It's beautiful to look at, wonderful to play. RCA Victor's 45 Personal Phonograph.
Evidently, the shot came from behind him. The bullet entered here at the base of the skull. Wonder who he is.
No identifying papers, Alec. I searched his clothing thoroughly. You better get that money out of his hand.
Yeah. Rex.
What is it?
There, look. He was holding on to this.
A glass vial. Let me have it.
Wonder what's in it.
Wait till I get this stopper out.
There.
Well? Here, smell it.
Smells like wine.
Yes. You notice there's a heavy sediment at the bottom?
Maybe it's poison of some kind.
Perhaps. Come on, Alec.
Where are we going?
To find a murderess in the disguise of a princess.
Oh, there's a girl over there talking with that man in pirate costume. She dressed as a princess.
No, Alec, an Arabian princess, but not Egyptian. Keep looking.
But if she's the murderer, she wouldn't be foolish enough to continue wearing her disguise. It stands to reason.
Wait.
That she... What?
Look over there, to our right, near the entrance.
Oh, yes, yes, I see her. An Arabian princess. Is she the one?
I think so. Come along. Pardon me.
Yes?
Remember me, princess? I was kind enough to give you a light a while ago.
What?
She's the one?
She's the one, Alec.
Just what is this all about?
Murder, princess, as if you didn't know. And I'll have this.
Oh, give me my purse. Give it back
to
me.
Here, Alec, take it. Right. I believe you'll find an automatic in that purse with two shells fired.
I don't know what sort of a joke this is supposed to be.
Well,
but...
Alec.
Just as you said, Rex. Here's the automatic. But, this gun hasn't been fired at all. Here's her passport. Her name is Kathy Peters. Destination, Cuba.
All right, Miss Peters, now that we know each other formally, suppose you start explaining before I turn you over to the ship's captain for custody.
Oh, please, Mr. Saunders, you mustn't do that. I've got to get to Cuba.
Planning on some more murders?
Believe me, I had nothing to do with that man's death. I had every reason to want him to live.
You still haven't told me what his name was.
I don't know. I received a message this afternoon to meet him down in that storage compartment at 11 tonight. Since dinner this evening, a strange man has followed me wherever I went. You saw that man out on the boat deck.
And what about your forcing me at gunpoint to that rendezvous in the ship's hold?
Well, I was afraid to go in there myself. But I just had to get that information somehow. Then when I heard the shots fired, I got panicky and ran.
You mentioned information, Miss Peters. What sort?
Information that will pardon an innocent man from a prison sentence.
And the innocent man?
Kenneth Maxton.
And just what is this Maxton person to you?
Kenneth is my fiancé. He was in the export business. A Cuban was found murdered in his office.
And Maxton, of course, is innocent.
Yes, he is. Kenneth had nothing to do with the murder. It only looked like he was guilty. Mr. Saunders, believe me, he's innocent. That's why I must get to Cuba to find the proof that will release Kenneth.
And you're going to handle it alone?
I can manage. Kenneth has friends in Havana.
Well, what about me, Miss Peters? Perhaps I can help. Where will you be staying?
Mr. Saunders, please believe what I say. I must do this thing in my own way. And you mustn't try to follow me. It might ruin everything. If I need you, I'll call. I promise I'll call you.
I checked our baggage through customs, Rex, being sent on ahead to the hotel. What about Kathy Peters?
She is still over there at the pier gate.
You believe everything she told us last night?
Most of it.
Why?
I don't know, Alec. Perhaps I like the way she talks.
Honestly, Rex, sometimes you operate in a most peculiar way.
Peasants would more like it in this case.
Hey, who's that man talking to, Miss Peters?
I don't know. Alec.
Yes?
Here's the vial we found in the murdered man's hand. I want you to take it to Professor Lopez at the university. Lopez is a chemist. He's an old friend. Tell him I'd like him to analyze the contents. I'll meet you at the hotel later.
Okay. Where are you going?
I see that Miss Peters and her escort are leaving the pier. I decided not to wait for her to call us. I'm going to follow them.
Well, be careful.
I'll see you later.
Oh, pardon me, senor.
Oh, that's quite all right.
Just one moment, senor.
What is it?
You are Senor Saunders.
Hmm?
Senor Saunders, no?
Yes, but
I have a message for you.
From whom?
The senorita, Miss Peters. She say I bring you to her later. I have carriage waiting. You come with me.
Well, how much further? When do we get there?
In a moment, senor. It is the house at the bottom of the hill.
When did Miss Peters say she'd be there?
We are early. The senorita say you should wait in the house for her.
Oh,
We are here, senor. We go inside. This way, senor. Follow me. Senor, this is Jose.
Yes. You are Rick's son.
That's right.
And you wait to see Senorita Peters.
Yes.
Lock the door, Maria.
Si.
Hmm? And what is this?
This, Senor Saunders, is a warning. You are not to see Miss Peters. You are not to look for her. There is a boat for New York tomorrow morning. You leave on that boat, senor.
And if I don't?
You will leave, senor. Jose, will he not?
He will, Maria.
Jose knows how to make you leave.
Maria means this whip. Senor! You should not reach for your gun.
So I see.
Now, senor, I will show you with this whip why it is wise for you to leave on that boat tomorrow. You will leave as I say.
How do you feel now, Rex?
Oh, much better, Alec.
I had a feeling that Kathy Peters couldn't be trusted. This was another one of her tricks.
Now, don't be too sure of that. By the way, you didn't tell me what Professor Lopez's report was on the contents of the vial.
Oh, yes, yes. Very peculiar.
What was peculiar?
Well, the fluid was just what it smelled like.
Why?
Mm-hmm. The strange part about it was the sediment at the bottom. Professor Lopez said it was like a podium.
Like a podium?
Yes, it's a fine yellow powder. Very inflammable, the professor said. And you know, it's completely waterproof. Professor Lopez took some out of the tube, lit a match to it, and immediately it went up just like that.
Inflammable powder kept in wine.
Hmm.
Now, Alec, there's something worth thinking about.
Well, frankly, as far as I can see, the only thing worth thinking about right now is for us to leave Havana on that boat tomorrow morning.
We're not leaving.
But, Rex, after what happened to you this afternoon, something worse might happen if we don't go. They mean business.
And I mean business, too. We're not leaving until I find Kathy Peters. Hello?
Mr. Saunders, this is Kathy Peters.
Miss Peters, where are you? We've been trying to locate you for days.
Listen to me, Mr. Saunders. There isn't much time for me to talk. Can you meet me tonight?
Yes, where?
I'm sending someone to your hotel to bring you to me.
Well, frankly, Miss Peters, I had rather bad luck with the previous guy.
Yes, I know. I heard about it. But this man can be trusted. His name is Manuel. I said that I would call you when I needed your help. Well, I need it now.
Yes?
Senor Saunders?
Yes?
I am from Senorita Peters. My name is Manuel.
All right, Manuel, just a minute. Alec?
Yes?
He's here.
Well, I'm ready.
This way, Senor Saunders.
That's the rear exit.
Si, senor. And the safest.
Manuel?
Si?
Where are we meeting, Miss Peters?
Senor, you will meet her...
Down, Alec! Look out!
Back to the climax of our story in a moment. Holidays are always fun for the whole family, but here's a way to have more fun every day all year round. Wherever you go, take a world of entertainment right along with you. Take an RCA Victor portable radio. At the beach, in the mountains, on a picnic, keep an RCA Victor portable radio close at hand. It's good company anywhere. It makes a holiday more fun when you have your favorite programs right there at your fingertips. And RCA Victor portables are the best you can buy. They're compact and lightweight, easy to carry, yet you're assured of top performance on battery operation. What's more, RCA Victor portables work just as well plugged in at home, with all the tone and volume you'd expect from a large table model. Yes, the fourth has been fun, and you'll have a lot more fun to look forward to all year round with your RCA Victor portable radio.
Not a sign of anyone wrecked in the hall or on the stairway. How is he, hurt bad?
Yes, Alec, very bad.
Senor Santos.
Easy, Manuel, easy.
Listen, please, to me. Senorita Peters. At La Paloma, she wait for you at bar. You go, senor.
Well, he's dead, Alec. Well, Alec, there she is, over at the bar.
Just as Manuel said. Now, perhaps, we'll get the real truth at last. Hello, Saunders.
Huh?
Remember me?
Oh, yes. Marty Gibbons. I rarely forget a name I sing on a police blotter. Alec, if I thought it worthwhile, I'd introduce you to Mr. Gibbons, but it isn't.
Still the same Saunders, huh?
Characters have a habit of remaining constant. I assume you're still the same Gibbons.
Oh, you've got me wrong, Saunders. I'm just a legitimate businessman.
Down here in Cuba for your health, I suppose?
No. No, for my business. You see, I run this spot.
That'll be Havana's worry.
Oh, you have it wrong, Saunders. I'm playing things on your side of the law from here on in. Gonna get married.
I'll extend my condolences to your bride.
Oh, here she comes now. I'd like you to meet her.
Rex, look, it's...
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex. Careless on me.
Oh, Marty, I thought you'd never get here. I've been waiting.
Kathy, I want you to meet an acquaintance of mine from the States. Saunders, my fiancée, Kathy Peters.
How do you do, Mr. Saunders?
How do you do?
You've got class, huh, Saunders?
Oh, Marty,
well, baby, please. Let's get going, huh? I don't want to give any guy too long a look at you before I slip that ring on the third finger. I'll see you around, Saunders. I told you she was a trickster. Now, where do we stand?
That all depends on what's in this lipstick.
Where'd you get that?
Miss Peters slipped it into my palm when we shook hands a moment ago.
Huh?
And there's a note in it.
What does it say?
Meet me in an hour in the cellar of Gibbons' house. It's number 32, Street of the Angels. I leave the door to the cellar stairs unlocked. I found the evidence that will free Kenneth Maxton.
Marty.
Hello, Kathy. What's the matter, baby? You look surprised to see me.
Well, it's nothing, Marty. I just didn't expect you home this early.
Mm-hmm. I didn't expect to find you down here in the cellar.
Well, I was looking for a bottle of wine. I thought we could have a drink together when you came in.
You dirty little sneak. I know what you were doing down here. I know what you were playing me for all along.
Marty, well... What's the matter with you?
You came down here to Cuba to find out how your boyfriend Maxton was framed. All right. So I'll tell you how he was framed. Just to make sure you know it once and for good. I did it. I knocked off that guy in his office. He was going to blab to your boyfriend what was in those wine bottles I had Maxton shipping down here as my forwarding agent. Me. I did it, baby. So, now you know all about it.
Yes, Marty. So now I know.
I'm wise to all your tricks, baby. I saw you palm that lipstick to Saunders at the La Paloma. That lipstick had an invite in it for Saunders to come here. That was it, wasn't it?
Yes, that was it.
Okay, so I'll be expecting him. And when he gets here, I'll take care of both of you together. I'll wrap you up for keeps.
You're a little late for that, Marty.
Saunders.
I wouldn't try to reach for that pocket, Gibbons. Oh, yes, I might warn you, Alec has rather a sensitive trigger finger.
An extra sensitive at this moment, I might add.
And by the way, Marty, I found your confession most gratifying. It parallels my deductions about you.
To a T.
As I said to you previously this evening, characters have a habit of remaining constant. Wouldn't be like you, Marty, just to import wine down here unless there was something special added. In this case, an incendiary powder like a podium. In the hands of the wrong parties in certain countries, it could stir up the desired confusion. And as for your future, Marty, well, that's going up in smoke.
Then, Rex, it was one of Marty's henchmen who murdered the man in that storage compartment in the ship's hold.
Yes, Kathy. He was rounded up with the rest of Marty's gang. They'll all stand trial in the Cuban court, with the exception of Marty, of course. Just as soon as the expedition is arranged, Marty will make his last trip back to the States.
And Kenneth will be free?
And Kenneth will be free.
I don't know how to thank you for all you've done. So do you mind if I...
If you what, Kathy?
If I just kiss you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Princess. And so I stand here on the bow of the ship as we head for home, and a soft breeze ripples the moonlit waters of the Caribbean. I stand here and I think of the strange adventures that have just ended. And I think especially of her, as I shall probably think of her for quite some time to come.
In a moment, Rex Harrison will return to tell you about next week's story. First, an invitation from RCA Victor. Next chance you get, drop into your dealers and look over the wide variety of RCA Victor home instruments designed to bring you the very finest in home entertainment. We know you'll find just the right instrument for family fun at a price that will fit your family budget. Fine instruments with world-famous RCA Victor quality built into every feature and detail. See them tomorrow at your RCA Victor dealer. And now here is Rex Harrison, internationally famous star of stage and screen, to tell you about next week's adventure from the Private Files of Rex Sunder. Next week, it's concerning travel.
Concerning travel. Commonly termed a broadening experience, it can also be a leveling one, especially when murder is along as a silent companion.
You have been listening to another intriguing adventure transcribed from the Private Files of Rex Saunders, written by Ed Adamson. In the cast were Leon Janney as Alex and Leslie Woods as Kathy. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Kenneth Banghart speaking for RCA Victor.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now by transcription behind the scenes of a police headquarters in a American city, where under the cold, glaring lights will pass before us the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. This is The Lineup.
Charlie Rice get here?
Yeah, over there with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson couldn't make it. A man from Skagway Station called and said he'd be here.
Valley Division found the car.
Yeah.
10 minutes ago. Parked on a side street in Granby. Stolen this morning from a man named Carlisle. He was on a hot sheet. Hey, what's that?
That's a necktie.
Oh.
And my brother's kid gave it to him for Father's Day. He asked me to wear it once.
Yeah, once will be enough. I'll see you later, Clint.
Yeah, Ben.
Hi.
Hi, Dave. You hear that game today?
Yeah. I'll never listen to another one.
I know what you mean. Hope we got a make on this bird who's been sticking up those filling stations.
Three jobs in three nights. Me too.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects you will see will be numbered. I'll call off a number, their name, and charge. If you have any questions or identifications, please remember the number assigned to the prisoner as I call his name. At the end of each line, when I ask for questions or identifications, call out the number. If you're sure or not too sure, the suspect have him held. The officers who took your name will assist you. They're seated among you. Please be prompt with your questions or identifications. When the prisoners leave here, they're sent to the washroom and dressed back into the jail clothes. It makes it quite difficult to bring them back after they leave here. The questions I ask these suspects are merely to get a natural tone of voice, so do not pay too much attention to their answers, as they often lie. All right, bring on the line. No talking, no talking up there. Now keep it moving. Over here to the end of the stage. Spread out and stand facing the screen. Take your hands out of your pockets. Look straight ahead of you. When I call your name, step out to the white line in the center of the stage. Number one, Earl Feely, burglary. Come on, Earl, step out. Don't look at me. Look out through the screen.
I can't see nothing.
Straight ahead. Where do you live, Earl?
3315 and a half Mission Place.
Speak right up. 3315 and a half Mission Place?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't look at me. Face the screen. What do you do for a living, Earl?
I'm a mechanic.
You work in town?
No, Cicero.
How long you lived here?
Almost 8 months.
Haven't you been working here?
Couldn't find a job.
How do you live, Earl?
Hmm?
How do you get along? How'd you eat for the past 8 months if you didn't have a job?
Oh, I had a little money and I borrowed some.
You own a car?
Yeah, I got a car.
Well, coupe, sedan, what?
46 Buick sedanette.
What color?
Black.
Any weapons?
Hmm?
Can't you hear me? Any weapons, Earl? A knife or gun?
Oh, no.
Number two, Irving Waxman, petty theft. Now, over to the left there, Earl.
Yes, sir.
What's your address?
1897 Grant Street, apartment 308.
You have a job?
Yeah, I drive a route for the Columbine Laundry.
How long you been doing that?
About 3 weeks.
What'd you do before that?
You mean work?
I mean work.
They stole can openers.
Where?
House to house, you know.
You have a car?
No.
Any weapons?
No.
Anyone arrested with you, Irving?
Yeah, my wife.
Virginia Waxman?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Guy who lives with us, Paul Darrow. I seen him in the next room before I come out here.
Anyone else?
Frankie Sidabaka.
Sidabaka?
Yeah, he's in the next room, too.
Now, we know it. All right, slide on down. Number three, Stanley Wormser, assault. Up to the white line, Stanley. Where do you live?
The corner of Broadway in Florida.
The number, Stanley?
351.
And what is that?
Well, that's where I live.
What is it? An apartment house? Hotel? What?
Well, it's a restaurant.
You live in a restaurant, Stanley?
Well, I own it. I live upstairs.
That where you were picked up?
No.
What?
I was picked up downstairs.
Any weapons?
Oh, no, no.
What about the chair?
Well, what about it?
You were using it as a weapon, weren't you?
No.
Didn't you threaten a man named Ernest Grover with a chair?
No.
According to the officer's report, that's what happened?
Well, they reported wrong.
Usually don't make mistakes in these reports, Stanley. Did you threaten Ernest Grover with a chair?
No. No, no, no. I broke it over his head.
Oh, pardon me. You know him?
Who?
Ernest Grover.
Oh, no, no. He was just some yo-yo who drifted in my place and he was looking for trouble.
Why didn't you call the police instead of getting in trouble yourself?
I can handle trouble.
You got a lot to handle now, Stanley.
Oh, I'll be okay. Don't you worry about me.
Oh, we'll try not to. Next, number four, Abraham Mason, vagrancy. Where do you live, Abraham?
Dan?
Yeah?
You got a minute?
Sure.
Lab finished with that car. Came up with two good prints.
Make of you?
Working on it now. Rise didn't do any good, huh?
I looked at 38 suspects. None of the others even got excited.
Yeah.
Stats office gave us a breakdown on the description. I've got them looking over the mugs now. Ash is with them. You want to go on down and give them a hand?
Yeah. Maybe we'll get something on those prints.
I hope so. Been a cold one so far.
Yeah. Well, see you.
All right.
Parkway Market, see the manager. KQAR 915. 20K, code 6. 245,
code 6. How's the neck, Pete?
Still stiff. 3 days now it's been this way.
Mm. Did you see McMaster's?
No, not yet. If it isn't any better by tomorrow morning, I'll go see him.
You should have seen him when it first started.
That's what the wife says. Oh, I looked this over.
Oh. Those the crime reports on those filling station jobs?
Yeah. The M.O.'s identical in all three. Oh. Rise says the bandit drove in and asked for a tank full of gas. While Rise was filling the tank, he got out and went inside the station to use the phone. Rise got a good look at him then. He got another good look at him under the light inside the station. Size, coloring, build, general description matches up in all of these reports.
Mm-hmm.
And this bird doesn't care if we know what he looks like. Sounds like a new boy to me, just starting out.
Yeah.
And from what all three victims have said about his attitude, the uncertainty and nervousness, he hasn't had much experience.
Yeah. Lieutenant Guthrie.
Your boy's getting ambitious, Ben.
Now what now?
Just held up another gas station. 253 Pearl.
253. Thanks, Dave. Let's go, Pete.
$142 as near as I can figure. He didn't bother with the change.
$142. Well, now let's check this back. You say it was a green Nash, late model, license number 37J6778.
Yeah, that's it. I wrote it down when he drove away.
And he's about 6 feet, dark brown hair, sport shirt, gray slacks, medium build.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything outstanding about him, Mr. Todd?
No, he was a nice-looking guy. Didn't look like no stick-up artist. I thought he was a nice fellow.
About 25, would you say?
Well, I'm not very good on ages, but around there, I guess.
Now, he got out of the car and said he wanted to use the phone, right?
Yeah, that's it, Sergeant. I filled the tank. He walked inside the station here. He was still on the phone when I finished. I came inside and he hung up and turned around and he had a gun in his hand. Well, I seen it right away.
What kind of a gun?
Little thing, a 25 or a 32, something like that. He didn't say anything at first. He just sort of stood there, shaking a little. Then I began to shake. Well, I was scared that thing was going to go off. Well, he walked over to me, set it right in here. Man. He said, I want all the money you've got. He may have been nervous, but he meant it. I didn't argue with him either. I got a customer.
All right, go right ahead. Hey, Pete.
Hmm?
You got any change?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, here you are.
Thanks. I'm going to call in.
Hey.
Hmm?
What are these things for?
Bugs. Stick them on the radiator ornament. Keeps bugs off the windshield.
Hmm.
19th Precinct.
As Sergeant Quine, please.
Investigation, Quine.
Anything on that Nash yet, Quine?
Yeah, I got a make on a few minutes ago, Ben. A Jack Myers reported it stolen at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Good. Okay, thanks. Oh, anything else?
No, pretty quiet right now.
Well, hope it stays that way. See you.
Right, Ben.
Anything?
Got a make on the car, stolen.
You think you'll ever get this guy, Lieutenant?
We're going to try. Say, look, did you happen to hear anything he was saying on the phone when you walked in?
I can't think of anything.
Maybe he said goodbye to someone.
You know, I really don't think he was talking to anybody on that phone. I think he just pretended he was using it so he could get me in here by the register. I got to give this guy his change.
Okay.
I think I'll get me one of these things. Seems a good idea.
Well, if you're driving on a long trip this well, I... Hey.
Hmm?
A 32's a woman's gun.
Anybody's gun, Ben.
Yeah.
You know, I was held up once before in 1946. Police never caught the guy. I don't think they even cared.
We care, Mr. Todd. Might ask you to come down and look at some suspects tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, gee, that's my day off.
Oh, we'd like to get this guy. Sure appreciate your help.
Well, okay, I'll talk to the wife, but I don't see how you're going to get him. He could be in China now. There's a... Oh, hey, that's a police car, isn't it?
Asher. Yeah.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
This is Thelma Lacey. Works at the Pearl Street Pharmacy over there.
How do you do, Miss Lacey?
Hello.
Thelma, tell him what you told me.
I saw that man drive in here tonight, the man who held him up.
Go on.
He was in the drugstore before that, sat down at the fountain for maybe an hour. I didn't think anything about it until a little while ago when this officer came in.
How do you know it was the same man, Thelma?
Well, he had this green car parked out in front, a spiffy-looking car. He just wheeled it around and came right in the station. I saw him from inside the store.
Cased it from the drugstore, Ben.
Yeah, sounds like it. Did you talk to this man, Thelma?
Oh, yeah, we talked.
You've known him before?
Oh, no. Tonight's the first time I ever saw him. He said his name was Roy.
Did he tell you his last name?
No, but I think I can find out for you.
Oh, how?
Well, I told him I was married, but when he left, he kind of laughed and said he'd keep trying. Said he'd drop in again and see me first chance he got.
Every Saturday night on CBS Radio, Tarzan brings you new fascinating jungle adventures. It's The Fabulous Man of the Wilds, created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, favorite of fiction and the screen. Yours to enjoy every Saturday evening on most of these same stations. Tomorrow night, stay with CBS Radio. Listen for Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle, for a thrilling story of intrigue, desperation, and madness titled Black and Gold.
This?
Number 13, Cherry Hill Station.
$64.
Yep.
And what's the total?
$1,348. Not bad for 2 weeks' work. He's a one-man epidemic, Ben.
He's making monkeys out of us, Pete. 13 jobs in 2 weeks and we can't even get a line on him. We know exactly what he looks like and how he operates. We have his description on every bulletin and a half a dozen good prints from those cars he's stolen. Still, we can't stop him.
Well, he hasn't pulled a job for 2 nights now. Maybe he's left town.
I doubt it. He's been doing too well around here to quit now.
Hey, ID wants to know if you know anything about these.
Now, how about this one?
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, Small and Crockett handled it.
Okay, if they go over to work on it?
Oh, yeah. You can put them on the night watch.
Okay, Ben.
Hey, wait a minute, Quine.
Huh?
While you're at it, we might as well get the rest of this stuff assigned. All of these filling station jobs have been pulled in suburban residential areas. Cherry Hills, Park Hill, Pershing Heights, Capitol Hill, Arvada, Lindale, and Monarch. Now, right in here. He doesn't move from this kind of area. We'll bank on that. And we'll bank on the fact that he'll keep right on picking off these stations. Now, starting tonight, I want an extra car in every one of these districts. 2 men in a car.
Okay.
It'll be up to the officers assigned to locate every filling station in that particular area. To keep special watch on those stations, including the ones that have already been held up. You might come around twice.
Oh, what hours, Ben?
Pete, what's the time incident?
None of the holdups have been pulled before dark, none later than midnight.
We'll start them at 7 and keep them on till 1, Quine.
Okay.
Every man should have a sheet from the stats office on this case. General description will be enough. At least most of them agree on that.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
He's got 13 stations in those areas. About 82 more to go.
Don't remind me. We'll split everybody's shift, but we'll try it this way until something happens.
Yeah, he's bound to make a mistake sooner or later.
He's already made it.
What?
When he held up that first station.
At 4455 East Colfax.
Sure, a nice night.
Yeah. Want to turn down Chessman?
Mm-hmm.
I saw McMaster's today.
Oh? 57. Did he find out what's wrong?
Funny thing. The minute I get in his office and lay down on the table, it stopped.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, my neck felt fine. Thought I was crazy.
Maybe you are.
Oh,
hey, watch it.
No, I saw him.
Did he see you?
Well, I was...
He might be a 502.
Unit 17K.
Yeah. Want to call it in?
17K.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Ben.
211, slugging. Federal Boulevard and 32nd, filling station.
Ah, that's down one more block. Let's move, Pete.
Unit 17K, 17K, 211, slugging, Federal Boulevard and 32nd, filling station. Ambulance on the way.
There it is.
Yeah.
Go on home. Now, let me wake it up.
Hi, Ben, Pete.
Hi.
Victim's name is Eddie Fremont. In here. How is he?
Skull fracture, I think. He's got a real wallop there.
Cash register like this?
Yeah. Quine and I saw him working here alone about an hour ago. Checked back about 10:20, didn't see him around. Then we found him.
Any witnesses?
Not so far. I put out a call.
Oh. Yeah, it's coming to. Okay, Ken. Easy.
Oh, it hurts.
Need a hand?
No, that's okay. Can you hear me, son?
Yeah.
I'm a police officer. Uh-huh. Ambulance will be here in a minute. Can you tell us what happened?
He did take it.
Easy now.
He robbed me.
How did it happen, son?
He drove in. Said he wanted some gas. I filled his tank. Well, he came in here to phone.
Now, what kind of car?
It's a Chrysler convertible 50.
You got the license?
No, it was a cream-colored job.
Right, Ben. Did you get a good look at him?
Oh, sure. I was watching him all the time. I was filling the tank. When I finished, I walked in here. He turned around. He had a gun in his hand. I didn't think he meant it. I thought he was kidding me. I laughed at him.
You've read about these filling station holdups, haven't you?
Yeah, but not him. Imagine him coming in to hold me up. Maybe he didn't recognize me.
You know him?
Yeah. We graduated high school together in 38. Name's Roy Dayton.
Yes. What is it?
Now, how do you do? We'd like to see Roy Dayton, please.
I'm Roy's mother. What is it you want?
Is he home, Mrs. Dayton?
I'm Mrs. Courtney. Roy's not home. If you'll give me the message, I'll see that he gets it.
This is Sergeant Carger, Mrs. Courtney. I'm Lieutenant Guthrie with police officers.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Did you say police, Lieutenant?
Guthrie, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Is it something important?
We'd like to know where we can get in touch with him.
Well, he's out of town. I'm late for an appointment right
this
now.
This is important, Mrs. Courtney. I'd like to talk to you.
Oh, dear. Will it take long?
No.
I don't wish to appear impolite, but I am late. Come inside, please.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In here. Sit down, please. What is so urgent? Why do you want to see Roy?
A routine investigation, Mrs. Courtney. You say he's out of town?
Yes, he's in Chicago. Is Roy in trouble?
Where is he staying in Chicago?
I don't know. He'll probably be back in a few days. I'll have him get in touch with you when he gets home. What is it, a traffic violation?
When did he go to Chicago?
He left 2 weeks ago. Lieutenant, you have an annoying habit of disregarding my question. Why do you want him?
We have reason to believe your son is connected with a series of holdups we're investigating.
Possibly absurd, Lieutenant. Absolutely the most absurd thing I ever heard.
And we're just trying to get all the facts, Mrs. Courtney. We have to follow every lead. It's our job, you understand that?
Of course. But doesn't this home and the obvious environment he's had influence you at all?
Well, as I say, we have to follow every lead. Is Roy in Chicago on a visit or is it business?
Just a visit.
But you don't know where he's staying?
No.
Did he go by train or plane?
I have no idea. He left one night while I was out. I came home. All of his things were gone.
Did he have a car?
No. Roy always used my car.
What kind of work does he do?
You're making me terribly late.
Sorry.
Roy works for me, managing the estate and the ranch.
Have you heard from him?
Not a word.
It seems strange he'd go away and not...
That's an impertinent thought.
Mrs. Courtney, understand, we have to find him, and we will find him. Our job is to get as much information about his habits and where he might be as we can.
You act as though he were a fugitive. What is this all about?
We can tell better after we talk to him.
Well, I'm certain I can't help you then.
Well, here's my card. If he gets in touch with you, would you mind giving me a ring, please?
Not at all. What connection do you think Roy has with these holdups?
We think he's the man who's been pulling them.
Holding people up? With a gun?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good day. Lieutenant.
Yes?
Roy is not in Chicago. He's here in the city. Where he's living, I don't know. I've seen him on the street twice. He didn't even speak to me. His own mother. I don't know how he's living. He's always depended on the estate, me, for everything. That's why I've been worried this time. When we've argued before and he's left, he's always had money with him. When it runs out, he comes back. This time, he took no money with him. He hasn't touched the account.
Can you think of any friends he might be staying with?
I've called all of them. Unless they're lying, he's not with any of them.
How about his wife?
You know about her?
We found out he was married to a girl named Corrine Hellman in 1945.
The marriage was annulled.
You know where we can locate her, Mrs. Courtney?
I understand she lives in New York City now. Roy never should have married her in the first place.
Well, why do you say that?
His place is here. I can't delay any longer. It's past 11. You'll have to excuse me.
Oh, certainly, and thank you for your help.
Not at all. I'm certain this is all a mistake. I can't think of any reason Roy would go out and hold up a person.
I can think of one.
What?
He hasn't touched your account.
Here it is.
How'd it come out?
Well, the picture's 12 years old. Three of them were positive. Dayton's a guy.
Want some of this?
What is it?
Iced tea.
No, thanks.
Ben?
No, thanks. Quine, we'll have to print that picture if we don't get a line on him pretty soon. Who's watching that house?
Small and Ollinger. Crockett will go on a four with Murphy.
Okay. You better keep one man free to watch Mrs. Courtney. Lieutenant Guthrie.
I don't think you'll remember me, Lieutenant. This is Thelma Lacey at the Pearl Street Pharmacy.
Well, sure, I remember you, Miss Lacey. What can I do for you?
That Roy fellow that we were talking about, Lieutenant, he's in here now, having double malted milk.
Yeah, pull in here, Pete, away from the entrance.
All right. Be careful, Ben. He's a newcomer. Nobody's given him any trouble yet. Can't tell what he might do if he has that gun on him.
Yeah. Well, stay close to the door. Oh, miss. Miss?
Oh, yes, sir. I'll be right there. Excuse me.
Oh, okay, honey.
Yes, sir. Let's see, I'm right there.
A package of Chesterfields, please.
Yes, sir.
You've been asking you to go out with him?
Yes.
Tell him to come back and pick you up after work tonight.
Aren't you going to arrest him?
Not in here. And don't worry. He'll probably leave when you tell him that you'll go out with him.
I see. Here are your cigarettes.
Thanks. Matches?
Oh.
Okay, thanks. And don't be scared.
I'm all right.
Him, Ben?
Yeah. A lot of kids in there. I don't want to take any chances. I'll walk on down to that dry cleaning store. He's wearing a gray flannel suit, dark, straw hat, sunglasses. Might be out in a second.
I got it. He's paying his check, man.
Yeah, be careful. Hey, Roy.
Uh-huh.
Police officers want to talk to you.
The police? What for? I haven't done anything.
Hey, what is this?
We'll talk about it downtown. Let's go.
You arresting me?
What do you think?
The lineup, where before you pass the innocent, the vagrant, the thief, the murderer. Listen again next week when we again bring you The Lineup.
May I have your attention, please? You people out there on the other side of the wire in the audience room, may I have your attention, please? Thank you. My name is Cogger, Sergeant Pete Cogger. I'll explain the lineup to you. Each of the suspects...
The Lineup, starring Bill Johnstone as Lieutenant Ben Guthrie, with Jack Moyles as Sergeant Pete Cogger, was written by E. Jack Newman, with music by Eddie Dunstetter. Featured in tonight's cast were Hi Everback, Peter Leeds, Parley Bear, Gil Stratton Jr., Howard McNear, Virginia Gregg, and Lee Patrick. The Lineup was transcribed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. Tomorrow night, Vaughn Monroe's guest songbird will be Francis Irvin. Vaughn, Francis, the Moon Maids, and the Moon Men will be heard vocalizing on such familiar themes as My Favorite Song, Keep It a Secret, Boomerang, Close Your Dreamy Eyes, and other top favorites this week in America. Vaughn's college salute will embrace vocally, of course, Georgia Tech and Mississippi. Don't miss CBS Radio's Vaughn Monroe Show tomorrow night on most of these same stations. Dan Cubberly speaking. And remember, America now listens to 105 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. If you want to find more from Rex Saunders, The Lineup, past episodes of this podcast, all the other shows, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit RelicRadio.com. You'll also find a link to our Shoutcast stream there. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help support it all, click on that donate button. We've got some downloadable sets for certain donation amounts. As always, any donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you, everyone who has donated. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.